It was Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin. Now, you probably have never heard of him, but during his day, he was as powerful a man as there was within the Communist Party. His works on economics and political science are still read today, and there's a story that was told about Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin. One day, he was to speak at a gathering in Kyiv in 1930 to address a huge assembly on the subject of atheism. Addressing the crowd, he aimed his huge artillery at Christianity, hurling insult, argument, and proof that he proposed disproved Christianity. An hour later, he was finished. He looked out at what seemed to be the smoldering remains of people's faith and demanded, "Are there any questions?" Silence prevailed until one man approached the platform and mounted the lectern and stood near the communist leader. He looked to the left and then he looked to the right. He surveyed the entire crowd. Finally, he shouted in the ancient greeting known well within the Russian Orthodox Church, "Christ is risen." And the whole assembly responded, "He is risen indeed." In the spirit of that unknown Russian Orthodox believer, I say to you this morning, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Awesome. Just how I prayed it would happen. Today is Easter. In our family, it's known as Resurrection Sunday. In fact, my grandchildren will still text me and say, "Happy Resurrection Day, Papa." I smile because that means it's going down from the next generation to the next generation. Because you see, there is no greater significant day in the Christian calendar than today, when we celebrate the bodily resurrection of Jesus. 400 years before the birth of Christ, Socrates, the renowned Greek philosopher, drank from the poison hemlock and lay down to die. "Shall we live again?" his followers asked. Socrates' reply was, "I hope so, but no one can really know." The key that unlocks the answer to the question and to all of the blessings of God is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is fundamental to our faith. Years ago on TV, some of you will remember this, many of you may not, Sergeant Joe Friday of the LA Police Department would interview a suspect. And what did he say? "Just give me the facts, man. Nothing but the facts." In the midst of a questioning and skeptical generation, the facts of the bodily resurrection of Jesus need to be taught and rehearsed. A story is told of a preacher who attended a seminar. It had many well-known speakers. The keynote speaker, however, entered the platform and stood in front of the audience. And he began by saying, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that wasn't my wife." And the crowd hushed. He followed up by saying, "And that woman was my mother." Well, the crowd laughed and he continued on with his message, and it was well received by all. It was several weeks later when the minister thought, "I'm going to start my sermon with that little joke." But as he entered the platform and came to the microphone, he was a little bit foggy. And so he began by saying, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that wasn't my wife." The crowd hushed. And he stood there for about 10 seconds. trying to remember the rest of the joke. Finally, he announced, "And for the life of me, I can't remember who she was." Remembering the punchline of a joke is important. It's also important to remember the gospel message. Yes, Jesus was crucified for our sins. And yes, he was laid into a borrowed tomb. But if we stop there and don't finish the story, we leave Christianity vulnerable. That's why the apostles were so sad and discouraged when Jesus died. They forgot the rest of the story. Jesus had told them, but they forgot. For many, the question still remains, what if Jesus didn't rise from the grave on the third day? What if the resurrection isn't really true? The grave consequences, if the bodily resurrection of Jesus is not true, is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn there. Thanks to the efficiency of Eunice, you'll have it on the overhead. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12. "But it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead," verse 13, "then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, in fact, then the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Now, if that isn't a downer, I don't know how to describe it. The bodily resurrection of Jesus, if it wasn't true, the preaching of the gospel is useless, according to verse 14. Christ rested the validity of all his claims on the fact that he would rise from the grave on the third day. The bodily resurrection is fundamental to our faith. John 2, verses 18 through 22, Jesus said this early on in his ministry. "Then the Jews demanded of him, 'What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days.' The Jews replied, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken." In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Verse 4 of chapter 1 of the book of Romans. "And Jesus Christ, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit." If the bodily resurrection of Jesus is untrue, our faith in a false message would also be untrue. The dead cannot save the living. The apostles would be false witnesses, according to Paul's writing in verse 15. In effect, Paul is saying this: we said he did what in fact he did not do if he wasn't raised from the grave. A further consequence: we then must suffer the consequences for all our sins, verse 17. Our faith is futile. It has borne no fruit. We are still ensnared by our sins. A further consequence of Jesus didn't rise from the dead is that the dead in Christ are lost, according to verse 18. To fall asleep in Jesus means to die. Lost means everlasting misery. Verse 19 kind of puts a capstone on it. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied if Christ did not rise from the grave. But, verse 20 says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You see, the tomb was empty. Some say the body was stolen, but there's only three groups that could have stolen the body of Jesus. The Romans could have taken it, but they wanted to keep the peace. So why would they disturb the tomb? The Jews could have taken it, but they wouldn't have done that because the last thing that they wanted was a proclamation of the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Well, you say the disciples could have taken the body, but they wouldn't have taken the body of Jesus, because if they did, they would later have to die for something that they knew was a lie. The Bible clearly affirms the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. History also weighs in on the subject. Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote, and I'm quoting from his writing, "Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man." It's widely believed that Josephus at this point, at least, was not a Christ follower. He's a historian. "For he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as had a veneration for the truth. He drew over to himself many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles." He was the Christ. "And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him. For he appeared unto them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had spoken of these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him, whence the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct to this day." Close quote. The Bible cites the following evidence to prove the resurrection of Jesus. He appeared. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, the women returning at the tomb. You'll see the scripture references. To Peter later in the day, to the Emmaus disciples, to the apostles with Thomas absent, to the apostles with Thomas present, to the seven by the lake of Tiberias, to a multitude of 500 plus believers on a Galilean mountain, to James, to the 11. He appeared at the Ascension. He appeared to Stephen, to Paul at the temple, to John on the island of Patmos. There never was a historical event established on surer evidence than the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. But, the scripture says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Thus our preaching is not in vain, and your faith is not groundless. You can confidently place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and experience new life, abundant life, and eternal life. The bodily resurrection of Jesus authenticates the fact that he is God. He said so. Mark chapter 2, he claimed he could forgive sins. The Pharisees rightly challenged, but only God can forgive sin. What did Jesus do? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man on the mat, take up your bed and go, or your sins are forgiven? He went on to say, so that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, take up your bed and walk. And he did, thus claiming to be God. He is the only one who can forgive sins. And he said, he is the only way to God. That flies in the face with our culture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's either true or it's false. If it's false, Jesus lied. And if he lied, that's sin. And he couldn't die a sinless death for you and me. He would have needed a sacrifice for his own sin. So it is true that Jesus said, I am the way, the only way to God. All but four of the world religions are based on philosophical propositions. Of the four that are based on personalities rather than philosophies, only Christianity claims an empty tomb for its founder. In 1900 BC, Judaism's father, Abraham, died. In 483 BC, Buddhist writings say Buddha died with, quote, that utter passing away in which nothing whatever remains behind. June 6, 632 AD, Muhammad died. In 33 AD, Jesus died, but the third day, he rose from the grave, appearing to more than 500 people over a 40-day period. The issue, friends, facing us today is that which faced Pilate so many years ago when the question was asked, what will you do with the man Jesus who was called the Christ? There are but two options. You can follow the crowd which replied, crucify him, crucify him. In today's culture, that would be evidenced by simply being indifferent to the Savior. Or you can acknowledge him as the Christ, the promised one, the one who alone can pardon us from the judgment of God. I didn't say parole us from the judgment of God. That keeps us guilty. Jesus alone can pardon us from the judgment of God. So I would encourage you this morning to abide by the historic evidence and do the only intellectually honest thing, to place your trust in Jesus Christ and experience that new life. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come, new life. Jesus said, I have come that they, that's his followers, might have life and have it abundantly. A full, rich, meaningful life is God's desire for you and me. That's only possible through faith in Jesus. New life, abundant life, and eternal life with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm going to pray, my friends. And I would invite you to pray with me. If my prayer is that which speaks to your heart, pray with me silently as I pray out loud. God will hear your prayer and answer it. Let's pray together. If you're uncertain of your relationship with the living God and you'd like to solidify it this morning by saying yes to Jesus, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for rising from the dead on the third day. I need your forgiveness for all of the wrong things I've done. I need your direction for my life. I invite you to come into my life right now and forgive me for all of my offenses against you, my God. Take control of my life and make it what you want it to become. Thank you for hearing my prayer. If you prayed that prayer and it expressed the desire of your heart, God's word affirms that you have been born again. Would you share that decision with me? While everyone keeps their head bowed and their eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and it expressed the desire of your heart to really accept the risen Savior, Jesus, would you lift your head right now and look directly at me? Yes, God bless you. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the reality and the truth that you love us unconditionally, Jesus, and you've made us each one a part of your forever family. We love you and praise you this Easter day that we know to be Resurrection Sunday. Amen.